Welcome to the Ask Sensei Tony podcast, where Sensei will address your questions about life from a cosmic perspective. Please subscribe and ask a question at AskSenseiTony.com to find out more about studying with Sensei privately, becoming a part of our spiritual community, and training to become a mindful minister of oneness in our seminary. We hope you enjoy this episode and find it helpful.
So, I'm Sensei Tony. Before I go any further, somebody asked me the question, Sensei, you always seem to be wearing the same shirt. And actually, I'm not wearing the same shirt, but I do own a lot of jean shirts, and I really dig them. So, yes, you will see me wearing a lot of jean shirts. But I promise to mix it up a little more for everyone. So today's question comes from Darcy. And she says, Dear Sensei, I have a pastor at my church. Why should I ask you for advice? That's a good question, Darcy. My quick answer is you don't have to. So let me say a few things first to kind of set this up, and then I'll give you what I think is a fuller response. I think that the role of a clergy person is very, very important. And unfortunately, in our culture and society, that role has become less important, I think, for a lot of people. And various reasons for that. But, you know, I think that they still play a very important role. Some years ago, when I was first starting out in my career as a clergy person, I wanted to really get into the counseling part, you know, and pastoral counseling, and really sort of, we call it mindfulness counseling, but really getting into working to heal people, heal people's minds. And it was a colloquium of a group of clergy that represented different religious traditions. I think it was mostly Judeo-Christian, and I got them together, because of two reasons. One, a lot of people still have a tendency to seek out their clergy person first if they belong to a church or a temple or a synagogue. And the reason for that is because there's still, it's lessened quite a bit, but there's still a lot of stigma attached to having something, you know, going on mentally. And so it's sometimes a lot safer for someone to approach a clergy person than it is to, you know, make an appointment with a psychiatrist. So that's the number one reason. And the second reason is that while clergy sometimes get really good training in psychological issues, a lot of times they don't. And in fact, the only kind of experience some of them ever get in that area is maybe by doing like clinical pastoral education. So I also felt it was really important to kind of make sure that there was a certain base knowledge that they had. And I began to see clergy that were not trained to do counseling, which I really think clergy should learn how to be good counselors. And I don't care the tradition. They can stand as sort of a gatekeeper into mental health, you know. So if you know the signs of someone who may have really severe OCD or bipolar disorder or schizophrenia, that you recognize the symptoms and that you could serve as a pastoral gatekeeper to help that person move into getting the medical attention that they need. So it was very successful, actually, and people enjoyed it. So having said that and kind of using that as my setup, why would someone seek my advice when they have a church and a pastor? Well, if they have a really great pastor that they trust and they feel is skilled, then there may not be any really big reason to talk to me per se, although I would offer you this, which could sound self-serving, but I do think it's a rational answer, response. I'm going to offer my opinion in a way that's based on the insights that have evolved over thousands of years from Buddhism. And Buddhism itself, if you go back into its early history, had a therapeutic foundation. And in some ways you could say, like, the Buddha, Shakyamuni, was a sort of proto-psychotherapist because his focus was on the mind. And the Dalai Lama has said things like, how do you define Buddhism? And Dalai Lama defines it as, the Dalai Lama defines it as the science of mind, you know? So I think because of that, I'm going to come at things probably different than another type of clergyman would. And not because I'm trying to make any effort to necessarily convert someone to Buddhism, because that's not my intention. My intention is just to relieve suffering. However, there are a lot of occasions where people, once they get into this practice and training, find that they really want to take it deeper. And again, that doesn't mean necessarily that they need to leave behind a religious or spiritual tradition that they enjoy. It means that they can do both things, at least as far as I'm concerned, at the same time. You know, people sometimes say, is it okay if I come and train and I'm a Catholic or I'm a Jew or I'm, you know, Muslim or whatever the case may be? And I'm always like, of course, you know, mindfulness, the teachings of the Buddha, as they have come down to us and sort of been taught now in a more secular fashion, that those teachings are the heart of everything. That's what's important. So yes, anybody can integrate it. Anybody can learn from it. So again, that's why I might offer something a little different, because I'm coming at it from a perspective that probably isn't shared, I don't know, but probably isn't shared by your pastor. And you're using the word pastor, so I'm assuming you're talking about a Christian tradition. I would also say that I've been doing this for 31 years, so I have a lot of experience. And I've been doing the mindfulness counseling for a long, long, long time. So I have a lot of experience. So I'm probably going to offer, again, insights that another individual might not have if they don't have that kind of experiential background. You know, and the third thing I would say why a person might, even if they have a pastor that they really enjoy and trust and a religious tradition that's not Buddhist, why would they still come to me? How can it hurt? You know, the thing is that if you have something working for you, then great. But if for some reason you're approaching me because you want another opinion or you want another way of looking at it, how can it hurt? You know, if nothing else, it just gives you more tools in your spiritual toolbox to deal with the vicissitudes of existence. So I learn all the time from people from other traditions or in people that are not connected to any tradition. I'm constantly learning. And I consider learning to be one of the great joys of being. So in the end, Darcy, I would say, you know, I'm here to help. I always paraphrase Bruce Lee and say, absorb what is useful, reject what you don't find useful. Sound good? Blessings. So if you want more information or you want to work with me more, send me an email.
You've been listening to Ask Sensei Tony. Please visit our website at AskSenseiTony.com, check out Sensei's books and videos, and become a part of the Dragonfly spiritual lifestyle.